who maybe, you know, we had an actual conversation before before Pesach. But if you look at my family pictures on the wall, so you see I usually don't have a beard. So it's inevitable every year we get back from Pesach, and all the guys in my shir who are used to seeing me without any facial hair over the course of the year. So I get some jokes. Let's just say some of them are more respectful than others. Usually, you know, I like to consider myself a pretty laid-back guy. I can take a few jokes. I got a sense of humor. But this is one thing which I take very seriously. And I don't smile. Not because I can't take the joke, but because I think there's something deeper that can easily get glossed over in the minug of making fun of people's emerging or not-so-emerging goatees after Pesach. And that is, if you think about it, when we come to these days of Sfira, so there's a lot we're supposed to be thinking about. And it's obvious that if you're not going to be shaving for 5 weeks, and you have been shaving for the rest of your life, so it doesn't take too long before it starts getting a little uncomfortable. You got constant scratch. You look in the mirror, you feel like a mess. You feel like you're like not even like a mensch. I happen to know someone who was dating his wife for a number of weeks before Pesach, and came time, he had to go to out of town where the girl was from to meet the parents. And he insisted, I can't go, there's a lot going on. He's like, how can I, like, the first time I'm going to meet my future in-laws, going to look like, you know, someone who can't even, you know, take care of his appearance. And we take that seriously. We take appearance as something which, when done properly, it's a chash of azach. It's an important midah to have seder and to appear accordingly. So when you look in the mirror and you see that mess, so it can rub you the wrong way. And it's not a surprise that we look that way. It's avelos. We're used to avelos. This time of year, l'maisa, we are mourning the fact that we don't have all of the Torah that we might have once had if the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva hadn't died and they hadn't been punished for the way they treated each other. And it's not just the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Even without that particular juncture in history, so it happens to be that Sfira was always a time of tragedy for Klal Yisrael. Many of the Crusades occurred during the time of Sfira, and pogroms and the like. So it's a natural thing that we take this time of year with a slightly more somber note. And we're used to it during the summer also. Same thing during the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av. And obviously we see people who are going through Shul Shem all the time. When they never lose a family member, and they show up to shul, they may even show up to their job looking like a mess because they haven't shaved in a couple weeks. You guys are too young to remember it, but Senator Joe Lieberman, about 15 years ago, lost his mother. And he came to Congress after finishing with Shiva, and he looked like a firm Jew looks like, you know, if you haven't shaved for a week or two. And it made a huge media splash. And it happened to be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because every time, you know, for a reporter or for a news article in the paper, he had to explain what it was he was doing and how, you know, in Jewish tradition, this shows respect, and it shows as if like a vacuum is left when a parent, when a loved one is departs. So it gave a chance to express something which the Goyim don't always have a connection to, and something that we take very seriously, and the honor, the Ketubot Avein. We're talking about someone who was in Congress, someone who was a vice presidential candidate. And you can imagine it was a little bit of a nisayon for him. But at the same time, it was something which was fresh and real. And the action of Avelis, the nihugim, like not shaving, it must have come more naturally because it was his mother. He would have done that if he wasn't in Congress. So, you know, he does it when he is in Congress. It doesn't make a difference. He feels the Avelis. But as we always talk about, this time of year or during the 3 weeks, we're disconnected. It's an Avelis Yishana. It's something which the tragedies that Klal Yisrael suffered in these times of year, they can't be felt as directly because it happened so long ago. So mainly, talk about Tisha B'Av, though, you have a chance. Because Tisha B'Av, you sit around on the floor all day. You don't go to work. You're not even supposed to be learning Torah. There's so many restrictions as it is, and there is nothing else to do except watch those Tisha B'Av movies that they show in camp. And that's only the afternoon, okay? But at least for the morning. At least for the morning. So it's easier to have on your head every second of that window in time when we focus on the Avelis, a cognizance of what it is that we're mourning, and hopefully even an emotional response. But there's no way to possibly mirror that at this time of year. Sfira, it's like, you know, you come back after Pesach and you didn't miss a beat. You came right into college. So a lot of your friends are taking finals now. You guys are in the middle of a four-week, very intense program. You have a lot of reading and a lot of homework, and all has to be packed in to a short time. You're very, very busy. And you have shiur in the morning. It's very, very busy. Very busy. Add to that the fact that at least during the summer, so you create like a zone where you start with Shavuos HaBetamos and you end with Tisha B'Av. So everything in between is part of those two bookends, and they're impacted by what each of those ends of the spectrum represent. Here, what do you have? On the one hand, you have Pesach. On the other hand, you have Shavuos. Or you have Pesach on the one hand, maybe you have a Lag BaOmer on the other hand. So how could the middle possibly have a cognizance of the Churban, of the destruction, whatever event in history happens to be, Talmidim Rabbi Akiva? How do you keep that in mind? So I think the answer of Bosei is that Chazal did us a very big favor. It's really a huge bracha that we're walking around with an overgrown stubble on our faces, because it's always there. As messy and as scratchy as you feel, the reminder's always there. When you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and so what do you see? Just like a normal yeshiva bacher, like, because that's what many people look like all the time? No, you look at your face and you say that each and every one of those facial hairs, it's another Talmud Rabbi Akiva. It's another Talmud Rabbi Akiva. New perspective. Each and every foreign substance that you're not used to having on your face is another representation of another Tana, a Tana that we don't have because of that Tikkufin history. And an hour later, 2 hours later, when you're in the base and in the middle of learning, and you give that scratch because, you know, you're uncomfortable. So don't think, this is so annoying. Don't think that. Instead, every scratch is, shlonogu zebezeh, a kovet zebezeh, shlonogu kovet zebezeh. Every time you scratch, think about another person who you didn't greet properly, who you really want to give a big shalom aleichem, but you couldn't remember what his name was. You could only remember where he was from and what high school he went to, which doesn't really do anything, right? Joey Gilner.
Wow.
Okay. It's because I've been scratching my beard a lot lately. Okay? Every scratch is another thought. Shlonogu kavadzebezeh. Whenever there's something we're supposed to be having in mind, any time during the year, could be during a holiday, could be on a daily basis, if there's an avod I'm working for, and here specifically, leading up to Matan Torah. So it means that there's tikkunim, there's avodas, there's meals we have to improve on. So Chazal did us a favor and said, we're going to give you something that many times over the course of the day, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and you say, who is that? And then you remember, oh, that's me with the beard. And you're going to scratch and you're going to be itchy and you're going to say, there's something I'm supposed to be thinking about every time I have that response. And when you have that consistent reinforcement, so then, and a phenomenon, you're going to have the mindset that you're supposed to be having when it comes to preparation for Matan Torah. That's Nekuda number one. Nekuda number one is thinking about what our mindset is with the hair on our face. I want to talk about the other side of the coin for another 5 minutes, and then we'll call it a night. Everybody knows that there's a very common practice to take children who are going to have an upsharon and go to Meiron and have the haircut by the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And there are people come from all over Eretz Israel, and people come from all over the world to have their kids get their upsharon in Meiron with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, if you've ever been to Meiron, I've never been there on Lag BaOmer, but I hear that it's Mamar Sakonos HaPashos. So that's if you're a nice, strong, you know, 19, 20-year-old guy, Shana Bet running away from Rabina, don't tell him that he went, okay? That's what I hear. But if you're a 3-year-old kid, you can imagine it's probably pretty overwhelming to be in Meiron on Lag BaOmer. So those individuals who are very, very stark on their minhag for upsharon, but can't make it to Meiron, so there's a plan B. You guys know what the plan B is? No one here had an upsharon? I'm so surprised. Okay. You did? I should have guessed. That should have been your theme on the second floor last year. But the beers, you know, like, go upsharon. Okay. I maybe know. So plan B, if you can't make it all the way to Meiron, is you go to the kever of Shimon HaTzadik. Anyone ever go to the kever of Shimon HaTzadik? It's in Yerushalayim. It's much easier to get to. It's probably not so crowded. Probably not as many bonfires. Shimon HaTzadik was Kohen Gadol, the Beis HaMikdash. And what's his shaychus? So I want to share with you a story that the Gemara has in the Durham Daf Testament Beis, which explains to us why there's a connection between Shimon HaTzadik and getting an upsharon. So the Gemara says in the Durham Testament Beis, All the years that I was a Kohen Gadol. So apparently there were numerous instances when an individual came, was a Nazir, and for whatever reason, they had to interrupt the Nazirs, they become Tamei, and they go to Beis HaMikdash, they have to bring Karbonos, they go through the whole process of the Tara, and then they start all over again, as if, you know, whatever the count was, 30 days, 7 years, they have to start all over again. Okay, so he says, I never ate from the Karbonos that a Kohen should eat from, or is supposed to eat from, of those Kohanim who came during my career as a Kohen, when they were Nazirim, who had to start all over again. Why? Doesn't say. Could be because the Gemara tells us, Gemara Bava Kama on Tzadi Aleph, that every Nazir is considered a Chote, because he's Mitzahar Atzmo Menayayin, he doesn't engage in all the pleasures of the world. That's one possibility. Unfortunately, the Gemara, I think, say that that when a person becomes Tame, they have to start the count of Naziris all over again. So Mamela, you might start regretting what you took upon yourself, because now it's twice as long as whatever you were expecting. So because of that charata, maybe there's a chisar in the Naziris, maybe the carbon's not really a kosher carbon. He never ate from the carbon, except for one time. Pam achas, bo adam echad nazir min adorom. There was an individual, who was a Nazir from the south of Eretz Yisrael, who came to the Beis HaMikdash. For Isiv shu yefei einayim, he had very handsome eyes. V'tov roi, he had a beautiful appearance. Ukvuto sov seduros lo taltalim. He had these gorgeous locks of hair that were nicely, resting on his shoulders. Amarti lo, obviously this guy was really good looking, and his hair was really something special, because it left an impression on Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik said to him, Bini mora isol hashlis es sarecha ze hanoe. What did you possibly see? What could have possibly motivated you? You could be on the cover of, GQ, and here you are coming to shave off all the hair that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed you with. What could have inspired you to do what you did to become a Nazir and have to shave off all your hair? Omerli, so he said, Roa ha'yisi la'aba bi'iri. I was a shepherd for my father back home. Halachti l'mos mayim min ha'mayim, and I was going to give some water to my sheep. V'nastakalti b'boha shali. It's unbelievable. I saw my reflection in the water. Now, the impression is that he may never have seen his reflection before. He really didn't know what he looked like. He looked in the mirror, and we have to sort of, like, it's a very dramatic story. So you have to, like, sort of put yourself in his shoes and ask yourself, don't have to answer, but did anything even remotely like this ever pop in your head when you looked in the mirror? He looked in the reflection of the water. Pochaz olai yitzri. Pochaz. What does pochaz mean? Like Yaakov Avinu says to Reuven, pochaz kamayim al tosar. I was attacked. I was jumped immediately when I looked in the reflection. My yitzhara pounced on me. Ubiki shlatori dani min olam. He was ready to annihilate me, just like take me out of this world. Like we say, akin of a type of a kavod latinus odom in olam. He was ready to just kill me right there. Amarti lo, and apparently, pshat is he was overtaken with a sense of gaiva. He saw himself in the reflection. And he felt like, hey, Taka, I'm a really good-looking guy. Fill in the blanks, doesn't say exactly, but it was something which was such an overpowering taiva for him. And he talks to his Yitzhar, which is very cool. It's a good tactic. Chavetz Chaim used to talk to himself along similar lines. He would yell, Amarti lo, Rasha, lama ata miskar ba'olam she'en v'sholcha, you wicked Yitzhar, how dare you take an ounce of gaiva in this world that's not yours? How dare you take even a little bit of pride in the picture you see in your reflection and to react the way that you saw it? And immediately, he said, he had one more point, b'mishu asalil shumim v'toleya. Give me a few years, like we say in Pirkei Avos, right? La'ana taholech, you're going to be rotting in the ground with the worms. Ha'avoda shagalecha l'shamayim. Immediately he was makabal on himself, I'm going to shave off all my hair L'shem Shemayim, as a Nazir. And at that point, Shimon HaTzadik kisses him and says, Kin Yirbu, we should have many more Nazirim just like you. Very powerful story. Very powerful story. But what the message of the Torah is, that a Jew knows, like we said, when not to cut his hair, and what it represents during Sefirah. But at the same time, there's another Chiddush in this Gemara. Shimon HaTzadik is the plan B for the upshirin, because that's where we learn from Shimon HaTzadik the right way to yes cut your hair. The right way to yes cut your hair. by goyim. So if you're like me, you grew up going to a barbershop, which wasn't a Jewish barbershop, right? I don't think I ever went to a Jewish barbershop until, in Meir Sharm, you have a Jewish barbershop. You don't have it in West Hempstead. When I grew up, you didn't have it in West Hempstead. It was an Italian guy. So what's on the wall? What's the poster on the wall in a non-Jewish barbershop? It's, you know, like this grid of like 30 pictures, this, you know, like of how to get your hair cut. Different looks, different styles. But each one is just another way to be Mizgoya. To gain pride, to make yourself, to attract attention, to do something new, something different that's gonna attract attention to yourself. And a Jewish barbershop, just the opposite. Jewish barbershop has the same 30 pictures of the guy, how not to get the haircut, and not to violate all these surim that are related to Pasuk Anecha, L'Galecha, but we had this week, these sedras last week, this week. It's not about how yes to get the haircut, it's about how not to get the haircut. Because for someone who's not oriented with our values, so a haircut is a way to bring on the Yetzer Hara. And the lesson from Shimon HaTzadik over here is that a haircut is a way, in Yiddishkeit, to remove the Yetzer Hara, to prevent the Yetzer Hara from getting hold of you. And it's, I don't want to go into it right now, but just it's fascinating that it's characteristic in the sugyas in Shulchan Aruch. The prime examples of Chukas Akum is how to get a haircut. And specifically, in Shulchan Aruch, Lo Yigalo Tzitz Rosho, Kmo Tzitz Rosho, he can't have a haircut the same way the Goyim have a haircut. And it all comes from Ma'arik, who defines what B'chukas Akum Seilechu is. And Shach quotes this, that if the whatever clothing or haircut or any action you do, when does it fall under that category of Chukas Akum? When it's Derech Shachatz V'Gaiva, when it's done in a way that makes a person feel like, I'm chashev, I'm handsome, people should look at me, I want to attract attention. That's where the goyim, that's the un-Jewish value that is reflecting a person's hair. Because it's not about how I'm going to give that access point to the Yetzer Hara, but rather how I'm going to use the haircut in a way to remove the Yetzer Hara. That's what Shimon HaTzadik was telling him. That the guf, every part of the guf, for one guy it's the hair, for other guys it's another part of his body. A guf is a vehicle to achieve avodas Hashem. Just it's too late, but check out, if you get a chance, Nali Short on page Nuntes. He quotes his Gemara, and he says, you know, like when that guy was looking at himself in the mirror, and or anyone who spends too much time focusing on their guf. So is that helping them with their avodas Hashem? Is that helping them do more mitzvos? Is that helping them focus more on bein olam chavero or bein olam makom? Of course not. The guf is a way to make sure that a person is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. And there's so much you can do within the realms of focusing on the godless Adam that doesn't overstep those bounds into the gaiva that can bring a person down. I want to close just by saying that there's a practice, there's a reason I'm saying over here. It's hopefully, the so that I'm saying right now is not a chiddush, and it's not something which the average guy in yeshiva should even have to think about right now. Because you're at a stage in life where it shouldn't matter to you so much. I'm not saying you should walk around like a mess. You should be well-kempt, you should be groomed. That's the way Ben Torah acts. The way Ben Torah presents himself. You represent Torah. But unfortunately, and I hate to be critical, but you know, we also have to think critically for ourselves. I've seen guys who spent many years in yeshiva, and then you leave yeshiva, and you're out in the world where the people, your coworkers, could be people in shul, don't have that the value we're talking about, because could be it's fed into by the materialism and everything else. Designer clothing and whatnot, and like, you know, suddenly guys who were in yeshiva learning shtark a year or two ago, so like, you know, their shirts are a little tighter, their pants are a little tighter, you know, like whatever the example happens to be. But you can see in the way a person dresses how much they're identifying themselves as a Ben Torah, and how much this losing sight of how the guf is a vehicle for Avodas Hashem as opposed to a vehicle to just be inward focused and self-centered and kavidek. Close with a story. It's a personal story, but I think it makes it practical. I mentioned before my first date with my wife. Before I went on that first date. So, took a shower, put on a suit, shaved, mushroom 267, okay? That's where I was staying, together with Rabbi Arya Leibowitz of Shalvim. It was my roommate at the time. I have to think about who else was there at the time, you guys might know. But that room has a special yichus. When I was there, they said, Rabbi Willig used to be in that room, or Chef used to be in that room. It's a very holy room. Very holy room. So I remember distinctly, and I'm a little, I don't know if this is going to get recorded or it's going to go anywhere, but I remember looking in the room, I had to look in the mirror, and again, I wasn't like, I just like had, I didn't have like pretty haircut, I just like, what I looked like, you know, just like, I got a three basically, you know, but I wanted to just like, you know, even out the sideburns, you know, probably been like, you know, a few days since I'd shaven, so I flipped the back of the, you know, the back part of the shaver, right, that one, nice and smooth, right length, you know, I'm like coming in for the cut over here, humongous like sneeze out of nowhere. Like totally shook my hand, sliced off half my face. Okay. First date, you know, like freaking out, crazy. Okay. And I'm telling you, it was not at all the same way. So pochazalai yitzri. No problem. Just cut the other half also. Make it even. You look like a match, right? Pochazalai yitzri. I thought about this Gemara. I said, no. I'm gonna go on this date. It's weird. I really like it's recognizable. It's clearly there and it's off. Got to fight back. Maisa Baruch Hashem, we're still married. But that's not the chap. Chap was that, like, weeks later, months later, I was joking, like, I brought it up to my wife, like, I can't believe, you know, you went out on a second date with me when I looked like a mess. She had no idea what I was talking about. Mom's no idea what I was talking about. And the musa that I got from that is, like, so much of that time that could ultimately bring on that yetzer hara that we're talking about in whatever realm of person, could be in the clothes, could be in the hair, whatever it happens to be, it's because we're so, like, we have in our mind this idea that, like, everybody's looking at me. Everybody's noticing the smallest detail of the pimple over here, right? Like, no, nobody cares. Nobody cares. But we're so self-centered. That's where the gaiva comes from. I think that, like, I'm walking out of my building, and, like, there's going to be 30 photographers who are, like, taking a picture of me, like, for the... No, what are you talking about? Of course not. No one's paying attention. You're paying attention because you're so inward-focused, and you have so much gaiva, and if the more that we realize that that's not true, people are not focusing on us, because they have plenty of things to work on them, you know, for themselves, and plenty of things that they need to think about on their own. And the more we think about, no, godless ha'adam, person has to be neat and organized and presentable, but the guf is a means of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not a means of just promoting myself. And I'm telling you, with that mindset, it spills over into so many areas of Baruch Hashem. Ben Olam Makom and for sure Ben Olam L'Chaveiro. Because if you think about your entire guf as a vehicle for Baruch Hashem, like the Gemara says, that the difference between tzedakah and gemilas chasadim, chesed has a mile on tzedakah, because tzedakah can only give money. Gemilas chasadim, you can use your entire body to perform the mitzvah. And when my body is just that, it opens up a whole new vistas in what I can do to be mechazik other people, to be mesameach other people, and bring light and happiness to other people, like every person should always be thinking about. I want to give you guys a bracha. I hope every one of you are matzliach, not only in learning, not only in your classes, but that the time you spend in our yeshiva should be with a constant focus on striving for higher and higher levels as a Jew, because it's too easy to just lose sight of that, and everything else floods your consciousness. But in the end of the day, that is going to have the long term impact to define you as a Ben Torah, and we should all be zochim in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, I hope Mitzvah Hashem, you guys after the summer, I'm.